DBDG Hearsay presents Keishing at 100, and ladies and gentlemen, your host for today, the fabulous Keisha Anderson.
Hello, everybody, and happy Labor Day weekend. I hope everyone's being safe and up their nose to just enjoy your well-deserved weekend. We're going to dive right on in. Today's topic is about mental illness, and it's brought to you by The Bryce Cameron Show, LCA, and DBGB. Enjoy. So let's just dive right in. So I did a little twist this time as far as the topic for today with mental illness. And I chose a select group of people to send a questionnaire to this week. And I asked them the following questions. I asked them, is mental illness something that you've been affected by? And if so, how has it affected you? And the answers I got were so alarming. One person shared with me that they've been affected to the point where they turned to drugs. They had to get counseling repeatedly. And one of the most major answers I've heard, suicide. I even asked a couple of teenagers in my community the same question, and I was quite surprised that a lot of them said that they felt like mental illness was something that was overwhelming to them, and they had family members that also ended up turning to drug addiction, ended up turning to alcohol, and some of them even said that they're being dragged by it right now because they suffer with anxiety at 13, 14 years old. And that just completely blows my mind that that's happening to these young kids so young. It's like they are faced with so much. But I wanted to talk about mental illness and how it affects people because this has been a topic for centuries that has been taboo or people just kind of like gloss over. And I feel like with the way the world is today, we have to have this conversation. We can't continue to just gloss over it. How many more times are we going to have to hear on the news or be affected by some random gunman out here killing our kids? Or you can't even go to a game anymore or play, like recently, you can't even play a Madden game without possibly losing your life. And You're not gonna tell me that mental illness wasn't involved in that. Like, there was a breakdown somewhere sooner. Somebody had to have seen something in this young man before he went to where he went to. And it's just like, for me, it just bothers me because mental illness is so glossed over. People just dismiss it like it's a bug on a wall. And we gotta deal with this. We gotta talk about this. And then the other question that I asked in my little questionnaire was, do you believe it's more shunned upon in the brown communities or in the white and Asian communities? And when I asked that question, I asked them to be as open and honest as possible. Like, and when we talk about mental illness in the brown communities, a lot of times it's not discussed. A lot of times you hear boys aren't supposed to cry, or especially in the black family, you hear stuff like, We don't have mental illness. We don't talk about that stuff. You don't have the right to have feelings. Because a lot of times growing up, even for me, if I felt sad about something or if I had an opinion about something, I would sometimes get spanked because that old saying, you know, a child is to be seen, not heard. And growing up, that bothered me and it affected me in ways where I had issues with expressing my emotions and feelings. Either I was too dramatic or non-feeling or over the top. And I feel like if more families in the black and brown communities allow children to use their voice, we wouldn't have this problem. But the answers I got were amazing. A lot of my participants said that it's more shunned upon in the white community, because they feel like in the white and the Asian communities, they're expected to be strong-minded. they're the people with power. So why would they have any mental issues? Like, you know, so therefore, when someone comes out and says, oh, I suffer with bipolar, anxiety, with anger, it's why? Because you have this, you have that. Certain ethnic group. And I just found that to be interesting. Me, I feel brown and black communities endure dysfunction that allowed to have a nervous breakdown. We're not supposed to just. Mental illness as a whole. And I gotta say, the answers I got from my two teenage sons were mind-blowing. One of them said that, is there really a solution? Some people feel like drugs and alcohol is their solution. Some people turn to sex. Some people will just act like it never happened. So I still wonder, is there a real solution to this? Is there, like, what's the solution to mental illness? Why won't we talk about it? Why can't we talk about it? Why is it so taboo? Why is it like terrible that, okay, your neighbor might have bipolar disorder? That doesn't mean that they have like the bubonic plague. People are human and functional just like everybody else. Yes, I know some of us get depressed sometimes, but some of us get more depressed than others. But that doesn't mean that we get the right to bash them or isolate them or ostracize them when it happens. Like, why do we do that? Why is it okay for us to just let people walk around with bleeding hearts? That's not okay. Why is it okay to assume that the person who smiles all the time has it all together? Hell, I don't have it all together. I suffer with some anxiety. I get overwhelmed. From a child, I was a nervous child. When I get too stressed out, I have an anxiety attack. My chest starts to tighten. I get mad headaches. Like, I can tell you, there have been times where I'm like, okay, I cannot take this pressure. But for me, what's worked for me is I write. That's why I love writing. That's why I love journaling. And I can write out my thoughts, my feelings, and my emotions and not feel judged. We got a lot of people out here who are bipolar. It's not like they woke up one morning and said, hey, I want to be bipolar. No, they needed someone who was going to support them. They needed someone just to listen and not judge them. In the Black community, we hear a lot of times, oh, just pray about it and let God have his way. Yes, we can pray, and we can pray until we're blue in the face. But at the end of the day, even the Bible says faith without works is dead. You got to put actions to your prayers. If you know that there's somebody out there that you're close to that's suffering with mental illness, yes, you can pray for their healing, but you also can help their healing. You can't fix them. Sometimes they just need you to listen. That friend that you know might be suicidal, don't judge them for being suicidal. Something led to that. Everybody has a breaking point. We have to get to a point where we stop stigmatizing this topic. This is something that is getting worse and worse by the minute, if you ask me. My personal story and my family, on my mom's side of the family, I have an uncle that suffers with bipolar disorder. I didn't learn this until I was grown. And when he's not taking his medication, he is all over the place. That doesn't mean I love him any less. It just means when I know that he's going through something, I simply say, hey, uncle, I love you. Let me know if you need me. Hey, uncle, I need you to take your medicines, because when you take your medicine, you're even keen. You're not so high strung. You're not so volatile. And you know what he says to me every time I say that? You're right, Niecy. I do need to take my medicine. And even if you do have to take medication for your mental illness, It doesn't mean that you're not functional. It doesn't mean that you're not okay. It means that you're strong. It means that you love yourself enough to do what it takes to be healthy. There's nothing like being healthy in your mind and in your body and your spirit. You got to love you. Life is going to throw all kinds of blows at us. It's how we get through them that matters. It's having that strong support system that truly matters the most. I can't stress enough how being that strong support system for someone with mental illness, how it helps them. Sometimes people don't want you to pray for them, and that's okay. Everybody doesn't have the same belief system you have. Sometimes people just want you to shut the hell up and just listen. If they're being dramatic, let them be dramatic. If they're having an emotional breakdown, let them. All you can do is hold their hand and be there for them. Sometimes I have a bad day. I don't want my husband or my kids to fix it. I just want you to let me vent. And at some point, once I let it all out, I'm going to be okay. But I want to encourage you out there today, especially on this Labor Day weekend. I want to challenge you to be a friend. I want to challenge you to go to your friends, and especially the ones that you know are going through something. And I want you to just pick up the phone, send a text message if you can, and just say, hey, if you need me, I got you. And I want you to really mean that. We have got to stop being selfish. We have got to love one another truly. We got to be loyal friends. A friend goes through it with their other friends. With that being said, I want to leave you with this final thought that for me, a lot of my friends come to me because I've always been that strong friend who you can usually confide in and get advice from. But I'm that strong friend right now who could use a friend. I'm going through a lot mentally. I got a lot of pressure going on. And my faith is still strong in God. But sometimes I want to get that text message that says, hey, Keisha, I love you. I'm thinking about you. If you need me, I got you. So I challenge you today to just be a friend. Call your friend. Reach out to that friend and say, hey, I got you. And also remember that mental illness is not something that you have to run from like it's the bubonic plague. It's here, and together as a body, as a unified unit, we can find a cure for this. I want to thank all of you for taking the time out to listen to this broadcast. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend. And again, this has been brought to you by The Bryce Cameron Show, LCA, One Love, Peace, Love, and Hair Grease. God bless.